This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard will be back with me on Monday. One of the most contentious topics in Governor Walker's budget proposal has centered around the UW system. The governor's plan, in basic details, a $300 million funding cut over the next 2 years and more flexibility for the university to manage itself as a public authority. But Republican lawmakers who would need to sign off on the governor's plan have raised major objections, including fears of tuition increases. Whatever ends up happening, it'll probably look very different than the governor's original idea. Another sticking point for some Republican leaders, UW Regents has said that under a public authority, they would keep their commitment to faculty tenure and what's called shared governance. Short version, that means faculty and staff and students have some say in decision making. In response, some lawmakers have said the UW isn't ready to run itself and they might step in on those issues. Our next guest is worried about what that can mean for the university system. Sarah Goldrick-Rabb is here in the studio. She's Associate Professor of Educational Policy Studies and Sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She co-wrote a piece on this issue in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Sarah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Well, first, what is shared governance? How does it work?
Well, shared governance, in a sense, is a form of joint decision-making that takes place only around the issues in a university that are central to academic affairs, right, and central to the education of students. In a sense, it's kind of a form of checks and balances as it currently works, where you have faculty, staff, and students working with the administration on issues where people might have different vantage points. Right. So you could expect someone who teaches the students to have a different vantage point than an administrator, for example, or students to have a different vantage point. What it means in the current system is that we all sort of have a right to be at the table in those discussions.
So this might feel like an alien concept for people outside the university system and might think, you know, I don't get to shared govern where I work. So what's different about a university that it needs something like that?
Right. And I have to admit that when I first came here to Wisconsin, I didn't know what it was either. And I kind of wondered what all these committees are, because frankly, there is a lot of work involved in performing shared governance, and it does take commitment. I think that certainly we can understand that maybe at a business, there is a specific thing that you want to achieve, say, make a profit. But in an institution, in a university, there are many different things that we want to achieve. So for example, we might have different goals. One goal might be to get good college graduation rates, right? Another goal might be to make college extremely affordable, to ensure that people can be there. Another goal might be to make us look very prestigious, right? To have good rankings from, say, the U.S. News and World Report. Because there are multiple competing goals, it's especially important to have multiple stakeholders at the table in making those decisions.
I think the argument from some lawmakers on this seems to be chancellors, regents need more authority and flexibility to do things like save money, make cost-saving decisions. Things like shared governance get in the way of that. Is that true? Is that how it plays out in practice?
You know, I know that's their hypothesis, and I can certainly understand that. You know, CEOs like to believe, for example, that they will always maximize the bottom line better than anyone else. And as any employee knows in a business, though, sometimes a CEO fails to see the ways in which money is actually being wasted. In this case, that hypothesis does not seem to bear out in the data. So there has been a really nice empirical study that was done by someone actually at the American Enterprise Institute who was questioning the role of shared governance and asking the question, maybe this is something we could cut to save money. Mm-hmm. What he found, though, to his surprise, was that over time, as the role of faculty, students, and staff in decision making has been diminished, and it has over time, the college costs have actually risen more. And the way to think about this is because, as I said before, this is a system of checks and balances. In a system in which there's no shared governance, there's really nobody to check the clear desire sometimes of a chancellor to simply raise tuition and make more money.
I've been saying Republican lawmakers, but do university chancellors in the UW system want this flexibility? Do they want to get rid of or limit maybe shared governance?
I think it's hard to tell. You know, I mean, I think right now what they really want are flexibilities on other aspects. Mm-hmm. And what they're willing to do in order to get those aspects, including things like procurement and other sorts of business type things, it's hard to know. I don't know if we're hearing from these chancellors what they really believe or not. They're certainly telling us us that they're very supportive of shared governance. They say they don't want it to go away.
Another issue that's come up, and you refer to it in that Milwaukee Journal Sentinel piece I mentioned, is tenure. From the outside, I think tenure can be looked at as a cushy lifetime gig for professors. But make the case. Why do you think it benefits the university, the students who go there?
Well, I think for several reasons. I mean, I think that, first of all, it should be clear to any parent of a student that the people who often know their students the best are the people who are in the classrooms with them. If you ask the students, that's pretty much what they're going to say. Now, oftentimes, it's the case that we can do a really nice job of educating a student in a way that our administrators might discourage us from doing. So, I mean, in one sense, we face some difficulty in being straightforward with our students and asking hard questions. I'm probably a very good example. You know, I mean, I'm somebody who, in my professional life, I analyze the policies of universities. Well, in some cases, I may be critical of, you know, my institution's decision to try to maximize revenue at the expense of students. If I didn't have tenure, I could be fired for doing so. Am I serving the Wisconsin taxpayer by raising those questions? I'd argue absolutely yes. So that's one reason, is around academic freedom. There are multiple reasons, including, by the way, the fact that we're willing to trade wages for tenure. So if we were not tenured, you'd have to pay us a lot more to get us to do these jobs.
And that is another concern that people have had about the university system lately. Some big names leaving the state, going elsewhere to other universities. Are you worried that the cumulative effect of maybe budget cuts, maybe these changes in governance, maybe changes in tenure would boost that trend?
I mean, I think that we certainly have to worry about that. I think that losing our colleagues, especially when it comes to the quality of our research at our research institutions, I think we're going to need to be scared about that. And I worry about the demoralization of the people who are in the classrooms with our students right now. You know, if I was a parent of a Wisconsin undergraduate right now, I would not like the way that my faculty that are teaching my students are being made to feel, right, as if they weren't supposed to be there and they're getting up every day and having to come in and educate our students. So I do worry about that. I also think, though, that there's a much broader issue here, right, which is how we do cost-effective education in the state of Wisconsin. And I think you'll find that the faculty and the students and the staff want that, too. Unfortunately, the way that this is being talked about, it sounds like it's going to save money. I don't think it is.
Mm-hmm. Well, the university may be forced to save money one way or the other with proposed $300 million over the next 2 years in budget cuts across the system. Maybe it'll be less than that. That is still very much in flux now. Looking at those proposed cuts, what are you worried about with the impact of those?
The first thing I'm worried about is actually what looks like a cut to the system that would save taxpayers' money won't. Because what's going to happen as a result of this is that the buck is going to be passed to the taxpayers to then pay a lot more money when they want to send their students to our institutions.
Well, lawmakers are trying to have some kind of, or have floated at least, I don't want to put anything down because this is constantly changing, but freezing tuition is part of whatever budget deal comes out of this. So,
right, and that sounds good. That sounds good. It sounds like, okay, so we're not going to have to pay more in tuition. But when you send your child to an institution where they can't raise tuition and they don't have appropriations, you're going to see higher fees in other areas where they do have discretion. And very importantly, your child's going to have a very difficult time getting access to the courses they need to graduate on time. So it is this kind of sneaky passing of the buck where your child all of a sudden will take 5 years to finish college instead of four. Like I said, it sounds good on the face of it, but higher education finance is complicated enough that I think the Wisconsin taxpayer is going to get hurt.
One flexibility that's been talked about is allowing the system, campuses, to take in more out-of-state students. That obviously affects some campuses much more than others. The university can charge them more than the in-state students, so that can help make up for some of the budget cuts.
Right, and I think that these sorts of proposals need to be evaluated for their effects on educational quality across the board. It shouldn't just be thought about in terms of a revenue stream. We have to take a hard look at what that will do to all students, including the in-state students. For example, out-of-state students who we would attract would tend to come from higher-income families who are accustomed to certain kinds of amenities. They are much more likely to come to our campus and demand the amenities are improved on our campus. They will therefore vote, for example, to increase segregated fees, which then have to be paid by everyone at the institution, including the Wisconsin students. So this is sort of, again, one of those complicated matters that looks really straightforward. And it's why I think we need the checks and balances so that, for example, our chancellors who advocate for these things can be asked hard questions and taxpayers can get answers.
We're talking to Sarah Goldrick-Rabb about the ongoing debate over the UW system budget and possible changes to the way the system is run. And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think about proposed budget cuts and about changes that would give university officials more flexibility, more authority to make changes, maybe at the expense of faculty tenure, less input from faculty, staff, and students on how the campuses are managed? Do you have thoughts or questions about how all of this is going to affect students? Maybe you, if you are a student or you have a child getting ready for college, or do you work in the UW system? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation after a look at the news with Kristen Durst. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation now with Sarah Goldrick-Rabb, Professor of Educational Policy Studies and Sociology at the UW-Madison, talking about proposed budget cuts at the UW system and possible changes to the way UW schools are run, including faculty tenure and what's called shared governance, where faculty and staff and students have input into decision-making. Call now with your thoughts and your questions about how all of this works at 800-642-1234. Especially like to hear from students, families of students, alumni, people who work in this system, or if you want to see changes like this happen. Call 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers now. We've got James on the line in Eau Claire. James, hi.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What do you think?
Well, as a junior at UW-Eau Claire, I'm a little bit concerned. I have been planning for a four-year graduation, and with these changes that are coming up, there's so much uncertainty, and I really wouldn't like to delay graduation because I've been really involved on campus and have really stayed engaged with the advising process. So for these cuts to happen and for all this uncertainty, it makes me really nervous.
James, thanks a lot for the call. Do you hear this from your students, Sarah?
Of course we're hearing this from our students. I mean, frankly, we've taken cuts multiple times before, and each time we've seen this sort of thing happen where there, you know, aren't nearly as many courses, sections, you know, teachers available to do this kind of work. Academic advising gets cut. I think that he should be worried. I very much have to say that's why those of us that are speaking out right now are risking ourselves by doing that on behalf of these students.
James, thanks a lot for the call. We'll go to Fred now, also in Eau Claire. Fred, hi.
Hi. Say, my question is a little bit different, but looking at the UW system, it seems to me there are, I think, what, about 13 four-year colleges. There are, I don't know, about the same number of two-year campuses. There are technical colleges all around the state. And in an age when we're going to more online learning and, you know, that sort of thing, I guess I'm wondering why it is we need so many campuses as part of the system, and is that something that anybody has looked at as a way to minimize or eliminate redundancy?
I think absolutely. I think you're raising a question that is on the minds of many people. I will say, of course, I do believe it has been discussed. And I would say that the issue, once again, I don't mean to make everything sound like it's complicated, but in this case, it really very much is. Many of our campuses carry debt loads that the other schools would have to absorb if a campus was closed. I would also say that, as you know, our transportation systems across the state are not really fabulous. And what that means is that it is difficult, if an institution is not located near you sometimes, to save money by living at home and going to school if it's very far away. You're right that online is happening, but I also want to remind you that there's not really good broadband access across our state yet. So I think what you're talking about is something that could be better visited in the future when we've made more investments in technology and transportation.
Fred, thanks for the call. John in Milwaukee is with us now. John, hi.
Hey, I love the UW system, but I just think there's too much fat in it, and I think if they can't find 2.8% cuts to not impact the student, I mean, it's not that much money. I think it's getting blown out of proportion. And you can use a number of millions as you wish, but it's not that big a cut. And I think they can cut without affecting the students' deliverable that they get. That's my comment. I just don't think it's that big a deal. I think they should, like we all do at home, 2.5%. I can find that out. I can find that in a day.
John, thanks a lot for the call.
You know, John, I've heard this from a lot of folks, and I have two responses. One might surprise you, actually, a little bit. So first, I hear you on the 2.8%, but actually, when it comes out of the instructional side of the house, what we actually use to teach students, which is where the money has to come from, I believe it's closer to about 13%. And we're already down quite a bit in terms of resources for the actual teaching. So like, if we could pick up money that was being used for buildings or something like that and use that because of the, you know, to deal with this cut, I think that we would, but I don't think we can. I also have to say that I would just be cautious about generalizing about fat all the way across system. So I would agree with you. There are certain institutions that may be better equipped to take a cut than others. But I think that, unfortunately, 85% of students in this state attend institutions with very little fat. They aren't research universities. Frankly, Madison has more resources than anyone else, but you're going to feel this cut far more at the other schools, including the ones nearest your home.
Time for one more caller. We've got Joshua with us in Kenosha. Joshua, hi.
Hi, I'm a student who wants to return to school. I'd like to, you know, eventually go back, but, you know, I spent 5 years over at UW-Stout. Do you think that the percentage of students going back to school will be lowered now with these cuts?
I think it's possible. And look, I mean, there's been a lot of research done on how price sensitive students are, especially, you know, those who are not lucky enough to be very well off and have lots of resources. Folks really are concerned about the price point. And I think they're especially concerned when they're looking at a place like returning to Stout. But as I said before, you got to not only worry about the price, you got to worry about whether the classes you need are going to actually be there, even if you pay the price. So I think these are legitimate concerns. And this is what the legislature needs to hear from us, is that we're worried about this.
Joshua, thanks a lot for the call. Sarah, as we start to wrap up, you were worried about high tuition on campuses, you know, before all of this came through in the budget. So what are your hopes and your fears now as we move forward on this still, as I said, a live topic?
Right. I mean, I continue to be concerned about it. I think that, unfortunately, even though we have been talking about this in Wisconsin for a very long time, there still has not yet been a thoughtful commission to think about what rational tuition setting looks like in the state of Wisconsin, what people can afford to pay, and how we should measure, right, what's a good and bad decision to raise tuition. But I, you know, as much as I appreciate people like Robin Voss's attention to issues of costs, I worry that, in fact, they're taking an overly simplistic view about how to get there, and we have to get together and really study this issue. And I don't see why we wouldn't do that before making strong and, you know, abrupt decisions like that are those in this budget bill.
And on tenure and shared governance and funding, do you think that the university system is speaking anywhere near in one voice, chancellors, faculty, students?
No, I don't think that they're going to speak in one voice. I think there's an effort to make them speak in one voice. But I have to say, I think that the people in Wisconsin are better served by hearing the diversity of voices that are coming out right now. Because if the idea that there'd be one opinion on this, I think we all know better than that. This is way too complicated.
All right, Sarah, thanks a lot for joining us
today. Thanks for having me.
We've been talking to Sarah Goljic-Rabb. She's a professor of educational policy studies and sociology at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, talking about proposed cuts and changes to the way campuses are run. You can hear more about this on the Joy Cardine Show Monday morning during the State Capitol Report. Joint Finance Committee co-chair John Nygren will be talking about this and other budget issues.